So, Rice, this is the perfect song for today, because the theme is creativity. I almost gave away the daily word, then I stopped.
Did you?
Yeah, but they'll find it out later.
I might have said it.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are chomping, oh yeah, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, ooh, your mama's good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing, and then you're gonna spread your wings and reach for the sky.
Whoa, thank you, all of you. Woohoo! Oh, good morning. We have some announcements this morning. The first and foremost, as you will notice, Reverend Pat is not here today. He is taking a well-deserved day off, and so we see him having a glorious day off. Amen. So today we have two informational sessions. One is regarding the prayer chaplain program, and our Karen Montanez, she will be covering that at the end of the announcements. And the other is a credentialing discussion. Reverend Patty and myself will be discussing Unity's variety of educational options to become a licensed Unity minister or a licensed Unity teacher. And that'll be today at 1 p.m. in the Fillmore Room. And we have a new class starting January 12th, Monday evening, 7 to 8:30, and that's entitled The Resilience Advantage, Heart Math Tools for Life, and that's going to be facilitated by Lynn Jensen. The details and sign-up sheets are in the Garden Court, in your bulletin, and on our website. And then on Sunday, the 18th, from 1:30 to 4, there will be a labyrinth workshop, which has to be a wonderful activity, facilitated by Lisa Moriarty. So check that out. Also, the class meditation practices will be starting January 20th on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 9. I will be teaching that class and will be defining and practicing various ways of meditation. And it's also offered for SEE credit. These are just some of the events and classes being held at Unity Minneapolis. So please check your bulletin, the website, the Garden Court, for whatever events or opportunities that we are having here at our spiritual community. Also, it's the final week to join 4Ts and spiritual intelligence, so there's another opportunity. And now Karen Montanez will be discussing the Prayer Chaplain program. Thank you, Karen.
Good morning. I'm Karen Montanez. I've been a prayer chaplain here at Unity Minneapolis for the last 4 years, and I'm currently one of our prayer chaplain trainers and leaders, along with Margie Black. Today, we are hosting prayer chaplain information sessions after each service in the meditation room. And I see many of you out there who I know would be just awesome prayer chaplains. And some of you may have had that little nudge, that little thought of, oh, maybe I could do that, but oh, it's too scary. I don't know how to pray with people. Please come and talk to us about it if you've at all thought about being a prayer chaplain. It has been a life-changing experience for me, and I'm not saying that lightly. Every year, my connection to spirit has deepened, and I think it's as a direct result of being involved in this program. I find myself almost constantly in prayer on some days. And, you know, life happens, and we all have our ups and downs, but my first response when I have one of those not-so-wonderful days right now is to go to spirit and to talk to God about it. And it's been just a wonderful, life-changing expansion of my spirit to be a prayer chaplain. The other piece of it is that as I pray with people, I really see the divine in every person. And it's allowed me to expand and open my awareness of the divine within all of us. The other thing about being a prayer chaplain that it was an unexpected bonus is that every year the group of prayer chaplains is so wonderful, and we really do bond together at the retreat and at our monthly trainings. And I become so close to these people on many different levels that I would have never expected, again, allowing me to really see the divine in every person. So if you've ever had that still small voice that says, oh, I wonder if I could be a prayer chaplain, come and talk to us. There's absolutely no obligation if you come and talk to Margie and I today. We'll just explain what the process is and more about the level of commitment. And so I hope to see you after the session, after the service today in the meditation room. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. And now I invite you to silence your electronics and give yourself and others the gift of this hour. And if you feel called to do so, you can check in on Facebook, let people know where you are, and let them know they are always welcome here, wherever they are on their journey. So let's start our service with prayer. Let's just take a breath in. And just breathe in. Breathe out any extraneous energy not serving us right this moment. And we thank you, Spirit. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this spiritual community where we can be together with like minds, where we can share love, care together, and we can do that which we are called to do on our spiritual journey. And for this we say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. So let's applaud this glorious day. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. So we begin our service by affirming together our affirmations found in your bulletin. Let's start with our mission statement. We are an inclusive and welcoming spiritual community, transforming lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in every person. And our vision statement. We are a vibrant, loving, prosperous spiritual community. We invite all to be partners in the worldwide expansion of spiritual understanding and consciousness. And our affirmation for today, I am free and unlimited. And I invite our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early today to hold sacred space for us, and they are here to support you in prayer for any celebrations, joys, concerns, that anything you want to pray about. And they will listen with the ears of their hearts, and they will hold it in the strictest of confidence. So if you have a desire to pray about something, please seek one of them out. I assure you it will be a blessing for them as well as for you. So let's stand and sing our opening song, One Power. The words are written in your bulletin.
One power.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to those of you here in the sanctuary, to those of you joining us online. It's truly a beautiful day. I would like to greet anyone who might happen to be here for the first time this morning. If this is the first time that you have walked through the doors for a Sunday service here at Unity Minneapolis, I invite you, as Reverend Pat would say, to put your courage in your hand, to raise your hand with me. We would like to honor you with a gift. Yay, we have several, yay. Thank you for choosing to join us this morning. In that purple packet, you will find a pink card. If you should choose to fill out any portion of that card and turn it in the bookstore, we do have a gift we would like to share with you to take some of this message home with you. And the rose is a gift from our congregation, and it allows us the opportunity to recognize you and truly greet you as the guest, the honored guest that you are. Thank you for choosing to be with us this morning. And if you hear anything here at Unity Minneapolis today, I invite you to hear this. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. Yay, let's greet our guest again. This is the time when we also choose to greet each other with a handshake, a hug, a namaste. I do invite you as you reach out to ask before you hug. So if you didn't get a chance to hug or greet the person you wanted to greet, please take time and search them out in the fellowship area for coffee after the service. And now we are going to stay seated as we join together singing Namaste. The words are printed in your bulletin.
Namaste, the We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of Surely the Presence. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is motivation. We affirm, I enjoy my journey to success. With my power of imagination, I see new possibilities for success and satisfaction. I hold a clear picture and feel spirit energizing and leading me to positive outcomes. I am guided and empowered to do what is mine to do. I ask spirit for the next step and listen intently. Swift currents of faith move me onward as I navigate over, around, and through any obstacles. I trust the power of God to lift me up and move me forward. While on the path to success, I enjoy the continual growth of my soul. I experience deep satisfaction in making progress and exploring new possibilities. My joy is in the journey. And scripture tells us, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills. The word for today is motivation.
Let us relax in our chairs and breathe. Let's breathe in again and release any energy that is not serving us. Breathe in that breath that we know is spirit. Spirit that is everywhere, everywhere present, around and through us. We are one with divine mind. All ideas have their origin in divine mind. How we manifest our thoughts depends on our relationship with God. all we need do is keep God first. Keep God first in our thinking. And along with Spirit, the desires of our heart are made manifest according to our faith in Spirit. And so we know, we demonstrate according to our thinking. As we think in mind, it also manifests in our bodies. We keep Spirit first in all our thinking. As we create in mind, we know our potential. We know our Christ potential. And now, as we rest in the silence, we hold Spirit first in our thoughts. And our thoughts will flow to our highest good. Let us rest in the silence. Let us rest in the divine. And now, as we return to this space and time, we gently and easily open our eyes. We remember in all things, our thoughts held in mind create after their kind. And so we know. We are one with divine mind. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.
So if all your
start right now, really take control. Turn your dreams into reality. Oh, and until you do, I'll be dreaming for me. Start to feel it, and the next thing you know, you believe, and that's when all your dreams do come true. Oh, oh, oh. So with all your heart and your soul, just start right now and take control. Turn your dreams into reality. Hey, hey, we got to change this world. So first you're gonna have to believe. Yeah, we're gonna change this world, but first you're gonna have to dream. Everybody dream. Turn your dreams into reality. Say, I want you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. We all ready to turn our dreams into reality. I love that, Patty, thank you. Thank you. So over Christmas, I had the opportunity to gift many of our volunteers with some of these beautiful angels that my mother made. And she made them out of a ribbon. And one of the responses that I received most, and I'm not saying just one or two times, that I received most. First of all, they were really beautiful, so that was the initial response. But then the response was, I wish I was that creative. I wish I was that creative. So I'm here to tell you, right here and right now, that you are. That you are that creative. You may not look at ribbon and see angels like my mom does. She's pretty crafty. But you create your life through the power of your thoughts, through the creative process working through you. You are the most creative being there is on the planet. Do you get it? Do you hear it? You really are. That's how we turn our dreams into reality, is through that creative process, moving in and through every aspect of our consciousness. So there is a thought moving through the consciousness of many in the Christian world this past Tuesday, and that thought was around the Feast of Epiphany. Now, many of us may not have had any idea what was going on. It may not mean a lot to us, but there were people for whom this is a really important feast day in their spiritual calendar. Because for many of them, it's on the Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas, that they celebrate the arrival of the Magi, that the Magi arrived to the Christ child to give the gifts that they were bearing. There's also several other activities that are celebrated on this feast day. For some, it represents the day Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. For others, it represents the day that Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding. So it's a pretty important day for many within the Christian tradition. And in fact, in my childhood, it was a really important day. My mother, Mom, I love you if you're watching. I really love you. She likes to watch the live, so excuse me for that. And she has given me the gift of the feast day, because we would have our St. Nicholas stockings on Epiphany, not on Christmas. On Epiphany, we would wake up and have stockings, usually tube socks, that were filled with candy and fruit and nuts and toys, and not all of our friends had that experience. So we got to go to school and talk about, because it was always on a school day, and so we got to share that with others. And so it really actually was a very important day for me in a lot of ways. And so I started exploring this past week, who are the Magi? Who are the Magi? What does this story represent? And what I got very clearly for me is the Magi represents that early stage of consciousness when we've embraced a new possibility, an idea for change, a new way of thinking. You know, the Magi saw a star. They had an epiphany. They had an aha moment, and they took action. They followed that star. They followed their own guiding light and fully committed themselves to change. They fully committed their lives to change, not unlike our burning bowl service and our white stone ceremony here. We truly committed ourselves to change, to beginning anew. And they were very clear to make a conscious choice that this change would be directed by the higher self, not the egocentric Herod voice that was going on. The Magi announced to everyone that they met the good news about this change, that their great epiphany was the change was coming, that the real king had been born, and it wasn't Herod. It wasn't Herod. And they were pretty vocal about that idea. Do you remember the first time that you heard that you had an epiphany, that you are a child of God, that you are an expression of the divine, or as Myrtle Fillmore, that you do not inherit illness? Was it an aha moment to recognize that you are blessed with unlimited potential? Did you follow in the footsteps of the Magi and want to celebrate this great new awareness? I remember that first moment. I remember walking into YOU as a teenager and really having that moment. Now, it was a re-solidifying of moments that I'd experienced before through things like Jonathan Livingston Seagull and other things that had been introduced in my life. But in that moment, did you let the egocentric Herod voice take over? There's truly two choices, love or fear. Love or fear, to think creatively or destructively. there's no other option in any given moment. Herod represents that thought process when we try to trick ourselves into thinking there is another option, that we can unknow what we know to be true. Herod was all about doing what he needed to stay in power. He acted as if he was cooperating with the Magi. He listened to their good news with the intention of finding a way to undermine them, with finding a way at this stage of the Christmas story to unring the bell that had already been rung, to unring, to unknow this new awareness of our own divinity that has already been reborn in consciousness, that we can choose to embrace it or fear it. Can you think of a time when you had an epiphany and then fought with it with every cell in your body? I sure can. Going into ministerial school was the first one that came to mind to me. I put it off. I put it off for a lot of years, and even at one point, remember trying to rationalize that what I was doing was so important and making such a difference that they just couldn't be without me, and yet I had a calling. I had a calling, and I finally realized that I couldn't continue to run from that voice. I couldn't continue to run from doing what was mine to do, and you know what? They didn't fail. In fact, they're thriving. They're doing really, really well. Like Herod, I tried to get in the way. I tried to get in the way, yet my higher self knew better. The Gospels make something very clear, that Jesus was born in the middle of some very, very difficult times. That he was making a difference, and that from the very beginning, he was a catalyst for change. We are always changing. We are always evolving spiritually in every other way. And sometimes we think we can plan for it. We think we can schedule it. Like Herod, we think we can control it. And then sometimes we have the great epiphany. We realize that we are only really in control when we can surrender. When we can surrender and allow our Christ light to guide us. This can be difficult because our Herod sense, our own egocentric identity, is a product of our own thinking. It's a product of our own history, and we can be quite self-serving. Yet we can change our mind. We can learn to think creatively. We are on a quest to discover our true nature, our true spiritual power, the power of God that is within each and every one of us. Yet it's easy to get caught up, like Herod, in the mechanics of living, the mechanics of life, and forget that we are part of a much larger whole. You know, once having gifted the child, the Magi chose to bypass Herod and take a different route home. They chose to think creatively, and we can too. Let's talk for a minute about the idea that we also celebrate Jesus' baptism on this day. It's an idea that is also very similar to our burning bowl service, a cleansing, a preparing a way for the Christ potential to express. Now, John the Baptist can also be seen as our first enthusiastic state of consciousness, ready for this new spiritual potential that's being birthed to express. And Jesus' teachings were centered around the divinity in all of us, that we each have this potential. Yet throughout humankind, we've taken this third step that is celebrated on this day, and that's celebrated the miracles. Instead of looking at the teachings, we've looked at the miracles and forgotten that what Jesus was trying to say was, greater things than these shall you do. He wasn't saying, look at me, look what I can do. He's saying, look at this. You can even do greater. You can do greater things than these. Our answers are not in what he did, they are in what he taught us. in how he lived, to live a life knowing that there is no separation between us and the presence and power that we call God. There is no separation between each and every one of us. So what do? We know we become aware of this Christ potential, this unlimited potential that is the truth of who we are. And do we celebrate this new awareness, this new epiphany, and make choices from this place of awareness? I wish. Most of the time, I wish. Because sometimes when the going gets tough, we conveniently forget. We forget and give our power over to outer experiences. We are having a human experience. We are in a process of evolution, and we live life however we live life, from the place of both, from the place of the truth of who we are and from the reality of having this experience. Eric Butterworth says that we must allow ourselves to be transformed completely in consciousness. By letting go of past beliefs and experiences and by laying a firm hold on our spiritual potential. It's the same thing that we've talked about quite a bit in classes this week. We must decide that what we want most in life is to be love. Not to be loved, not to experience love, but to be love. That's the passion that called me into ministry. That's what calls me to unity. Not the idea of the Christ potential within us, but the idea that we must express, that we have to be it in our lives. Another quote from Eric, and this one's about prayer. Prayer is not conditioning God with our needs, but conditioning our lives with the activity of God. Prayer is self-realization, self-expansion. It is getting recentered within and reestablishing ourselves in the flow of the infinite creative process. Reestablishing ourselves in the flow of the infinite creative process. There's a piece in your bulletin about an organization that we are supporting right now that's gathering hats and headbands for children with cancer. Let me tell you something about this story. It's a campaign that was started by a six-year-old here in Minnesota. Her name is Aubrey. And Aubrey was watching the Today Show with her mother. And there was a musical video of children with cancer. Now, Aubrey's thought process was to think creatively as she watched this video, and instead of looking at the negative and feeling sad and sorry, she was called to come up with an idea of what could she do to bring a smile to the face of a child with cancer. And she came up with the idea for this campaign to deliver headbands and hats to all of these children for Valentine's Day. With Valentine's Day cards. Because not only did she want them to have a smile on their face, she really wanted all the children at the Children's Hospital here in Minneapolis-St. Paul, to know that they are not alone. That they are not alone. She learned to think creatively at a very early age. I think it's our natural way of thinking. And I think it's something that we can all do. Sometimes we think that because something is happening in our lives, it can make us think a certain way. And so we try to change our lives. We try to change the world around us. I know I've tried it. I've moved. I've changed jobs. I've lost weight. I've turned off the news. I've turned on the news. I've brought a new wardrobe. I got married. I became divorced. We all got the journeys where we tried to change our life by changing the world around us. And what I've learned is that change for the sake of change doesn't work. It does not work. I've made some pretty big geographical changes, moved thousands of miles, and found that it was just like the story of pouring wine into wineskin. Somehow, no matter how I looked, no matter what was going on, no matter how the world changed, I still showed up, putting the new me into an old wineskin, into an old consciousness. You know, metaphysically, I'd say that the old wineskin really does refer to our consciousness, our thoughts, our past, our history, our story, that which we carry with us wherever we go, and that which informs our actions most of the time. The thing is that new wine is unfermented. New wine doesn't have a history. And as wine ferments, it expands. So you put new wine into a new wineskin that has elasticity, that can expand with it, that doesn't have the resistance. It will not resist this whole process of expansion. And when you put new wine into an old wineskin that is already stretched to its maximum capacity, you lose both the wine and the wineskin. So if we're trying to force a change in our consciousness without transforming our thought process, it won't work. And quite frequently, things get a little worse than they seemed to be to start off with. You know, a little chaos ensues in our lives. And I can promise you, it's not a whole lot of fun. It's not a whole lot of fun to be filled with these new possibilities, these new ideas, only to find out that you've recreated the same experience you wanted to get away from in the first place. The Magi didn't stay with what they knew. They followed a different path home and did not give Herod what Herod thought he needed. With change, many of us opt to hold back, to fit our new ideas into this old consciousness, and chaos ensues around us in our life. It brings fear, it brings insecurity, it brings sorrow, it breeds stress. So what do? Do we hibernate? Do we sleep through life? A better idea might be to do as this Christian author Max Lucado says, set your bearings on the one and only North Star in the universe, God. Much of the time we don't realize that when we are awake all night worrying because of what Eric Butterworth calls being mentally permissive, that what we are really doing is wreaking havoc with our lives. We're creating those thought patterns, mainly because we are not instructed in the art of thinking. Thinking is something we take for granted, and we become reflex thinkers. You know, we become thinkers who respond to the world around us, and we can choose differently. Things happen in the world around us, but they do not have to create or cause our thoughts unless we choose to allow them. You have within you already what you need to change these habitual thoughts. It's your job to take dominion, to truly do just like the Magi and not listen to that Herod voice and choose your direction. I was listening to Eric Butterworth talk about this, and Eric Butterworth says, if you want a new door to open, it's very, very important to make sure that you are faced in the direction of where you want to go. And his reasoning for that, because even then a kick in the pants is going to push you in the right direction. So if you are looking for a job and you're living from a place of fear, you don't have to. Because when you start going out and applying for those jobs, and your attitude is rampant with these ideas of bitterness or confusion, they're going to know. The truth of who you are is going to communicate to any prospective employer. If you really want to open new doors, face yourself in the direction that you want to go. Many of you know that my diet is to follow a gluten-free vegan diet. Not so easy most of the time. It gives me lots of opportunities to really look at my thoughts and my consciousness around everything that I choose to put in my body. And what I have found over these few years of doing this now is that my thought process is finally beginning to change. It's becoming less about putting comfort into my body and more about loving this temple of God and truly being conscious of the energy that I am creating this body from. No matter what is happening in our lives, in the world around us, it's the choices that you are making within that is defining whether you are happy, that is defining the life that you are leading, and only you can change it. You can make the commitment to create the kind of thoughts that are necessary to go the direction that you want to go, to have the experiences that you want to live. You truly can. I behold the Christ in you. Namaste.
When I told this guy who wrote this song that I sing it in churches, he couldn't even believe it. But he wrote the words. They're pretty cool, so I want you to sing with me, okay?
Sipping into the future.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I'm going to fly like an eagle until I'm free. Fly right into the future. Gonna be the baby. Don't have enough to eat. Shoo the children.
Gonna shoo the children
with no shoes on their feet. How's the people?
How's the people
who are living in the street? Oh, yeah, there's a solution. They just let me fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I'm going to fly like an eagle till I'm free. Fly right into the future. Cause time keeps on slipping, 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 slipping into the future.
Into the future.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Street.
Oh, there's a solution. So you see, it's pretty easy, right? So I'll sing it. I'll have you sing the second half of it. It's very easy. Feed the babies, shoe the children, house the people. It's pretty cool, right? Yeah, it's a church song, Steve. All right, here we go. Let's sing this together. gonna feed the babies. I don't have enough to eat.
Shoot the children.
I got no shoes on their feet.
With no shoes on their feet.
How's the people
that are living in the street?
That are living in the street.
What?
Oh yeah, there's a solution. Gonna feed the babies that don't have enough to eat.
Shoot the children.
With no shoes on their feet.
How's the people
that are living in the street?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a solution. All you gotta do is fly like an eagle to the sea.
Come on.
Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me.
I'm going to
fly like an eagle until I'm free. Fly right into the future.
Thanks for singing. Woohoo! Thank you very much.
I love the memories that just got transformed with that song. Yay. We'd like to invite our ushers to come forward. This is the time in the service where we choose to give of our own personal abundance to support and empower the mission, the work of this ministry. It's truly the time that we individually choose to put God first in every area of our lives. So I invite you to hold in your consciousness right now, in the palm of your hands, the prosperity of you, of those you love, of this community. If you're joining us online, you can make a donation by clicking the green button in the top right corner. And truly, we each participated in this energy, blessing these offerings, holding a new wineskin, a new possibility, as we affirm together our affirmation of abundance that is printed in your bulletin. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Now truly take that deep within your heart. Know it to be true. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you.
This is truly the bounty of God. We send it forth with wisdom, with joy, to do the work of this community, transforming lives. And we are grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen. Would like to invite each of you who consider yourself to be a volunteer here at this community to stop by the bookstore and get a ticket to our Volunteer Appreciation Brunch. There's information about it in your bulletin. It'll be on the 31st at the Lodge in Robbinsdale. We truly could not do this without you and want to honor and bless you and express our gratitude for the gift that you give to this community. Are our kids out there? Let's bring them in.
Walking in the light, in the light of God, in the light, in the light, in the light, in the light.
Morning.
Morning.
It's second Sunday, and that means Coffee Sunday, and Ariel's here with an announcement. Hi, so do you enjoy coffee, tea, or hot chocolate? I'm sure all of you do. So you can visit us in Friendship Hall today to taste and order a supply for your home. Ground or whole bean fresh roasted coffee, loose leaf teas, and hot chocolate are $11. We also have chocolate covered espresso beans for $5. And all of these proceeds benefit our youth programs. Thank you.
We truly want to honor and acknowledge all of the adults in our youth program. We are very grateful for their service to our children. And with that, let's join together in closing with our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together, the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
When you check it out, well, they say. take, and that you must go other places. But just don't feel too bad. You get fooled by smiling faces. Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you worry about a thing. Oh no. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it. Check out the new, but you're the only one who sees the changes you put yourself through.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you worry about a thing, pretty mama.
'Cause I'll be standing on the signs when you check it out.
Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing.
One more.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Sure, Laura. Thank you.